You're listening to another episode of Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are Anime and Dave, your superhero super host, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to animeontheradio@yahoo.com. That's A-N-N-A-M-A-Y on the radio at yahoo.com. Check out our MySpace page at myspace.com/geekworld and check out our completely unupdated website at geekworldradio.com.
Soon to be updated.
Yeah, so we claim.
It shall happen.
So
sooner or later.
There is news this week.
Yes.
There are movies we've watched.
There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. But first, I want to start off with some sad news.
Yes.
The death of Michael Crichton, one of the greatest authors of our time.
Certainly.
With some of my favorite books, Andromeda Strain, Jurassic Park. And they're actually currently in the works of that new Jurassic Park movie that has a bunch of the old people in it.
Yes, Jurassic Park 4. They're going to have Sam Neill back, and I'm not sure who else, but yeah, there's going to be quite a few people. Yeah, it's really sad. You know, Michael Crichton is one of these really great writers of our time, along with many of the great books that he created that turned into great movies.
Yeah.
What a lot of people don't know is he invented the show ER.
Really? That's right. He did, didn't he? His name is always there in the credits, and it's like,
I don't know if he ever actually finished, but he was in medical school for a very long time, and I'm not sure if he was ever actually officially a doctor or not, but
I think they might have actually called him Dr. Crichton or something, but it's hard to say. You never know.
Could have been, you know, and that could have been where he got a lot of the stuff for ER.
Yeah.
But the guy was amazing, you know, like you said, he Jurassic Park, obviously, was probably the biggest movie that was made from his books. The Andromeda Strain, of course, which was actually, I think, his first big book.
Yeah,
It was kind of like his version of when Stephen King did The Stand. And, of course, a bunch of other ones, Sphere, which they turned into a movie that wasn't really acclaimed as a film, but was
moderately entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to a point. It wasn't, I would say of the movies that were translated from his books, it was one of the not best by any means. Had a good cast, you know, Dustin Hoffman, Sharon Stone, and Samuel Jackson, but, you know, not a great movie, but I know I also, as I recall, they kind of strayed from what the actual book was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Another one was Congo.
Congo, yeah. With monkeys, right?
Yes, with the gorillas. And that was another one that, you know, it was quite different from the actual book, but
you know,
it was really cool.
You know, think with a movie that involved monkeys or apes of any sort, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, especially, and not only that, I mean, but in the very beginning, Bruce Campbell's in the movie.
I mean, how can you go wrong with apes and Bruce Campbell?
You really can't. That's what's crazy about it, you know? But
somehow they managed.
Did. Yeah,
you've got a story based on a Michael Crichton story.
Yeah.
You've got Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And you've got apes.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bruce Campbell, not to, you know, if any of you haven't seen it, I mean, come on, the movie came out like, what, 15 years ago. Bruce Campbell doesn't last very long, per se.
Right.
But still, he opens the movie.
In that, it shows that they didn't utilize him quite correctly, because you at least have him hang along long enough that he can, you know, have some crazy antics.
Of course, yes. Definitely crazy act. It must happen. Ernie Hudson, I remember, played like the main hero guy. There was a whole very cool scene using flares to take out rockets. So there were some cool parts in Congo.
Did the monkeys shoot rockets?
Yes, the monkeys shot rockets at
them.
Exactly. Just like Planet of the Apes, there was monkeys with bazookas everywhere. It was very scary. Yeah. Just intense. Another one was that not a lot of people saw because it really wasn't good was Timeline.
Right.
I actually read that book and I really liked it a lot. I thought it was a really, really good book. It was not a very good movie.
I hear it was a good book on tape.
Yeah. It was. And a good cast too, you know. It's funny. This was
No, not the movie. The book on tape.
Yeah, oh, no, I heard you. I just dismissed what you said.
Oh, okay. You're good at that.
Yeah. Well, I am. I mean, yeah.
It's your talent.
It is. It's good. Yeah. It's a
That's
book on tape.
That's your superpower, dismissing people.
Yeah, it's a book on tape. Anyway, so, but the actual movie had a pre-300 Gerard Butler in it.
No way.
And,
he existed before 300?
He did.
No,
most
he
people
didn't.
Don't know that, but he did. Yes.
No, he was like, you know, born and evolved right there just for 300. I'm pretty sure
of it. In Reign of Fire. As Christian Bale's friend.
Oh, you're right. Okay, he evolved then.
And he was also in Dracula 2000 playing Dracula.
I did not see that.
Yes. Well, you missed out big time. So that was
that one of those comedy Dracula ones, or was that one of the not comedy ones?
Well,
it was called Dracula 2000, which kind of denotes comedy.
Well, it's one of those. It's just one of those horror movies that is not supposed to be comedic, but it's just not good. So
it kind of becomes comedic.
Yeah, by default, it becomes comedic. Exactly.
Gotcha.
And so Timeline, good book, not so great. Rising Sun, that's one that was a good book, and as I recall, a good movie. Now, Rising Sun was one of those that I really, 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 really wanted to get as a kid when I was like 14, 15, because it was all about sex and
there,
all
so there were
of
lots
stuff.
Of naked people, and or it implied that there would
be. Yes, there was sex in it. What I didn't understand, it's funny, I'll have to thank my sister. I recall she rented it for me and a friend when I was around 15.
She contributed to the delinquency
yes,
of minors.
She sure did, and thank God for that. What I didn't know was that the whole movie was set around erotic asphyxiation. So who knew?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got to learn about some kind of fun stuff, very, very early on. So that was nice.
Wow.
But, it's got Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery and a totally awesome part where Sean Connery just hits some dude in the trachea. So,
well, I mean, is there anything that Sean Connery does that isn't awesome?
Even did you see League Extraordinary Gentlemen?
The movie wasn't awesome. Doesn't mean that he wasn't awesome.
Did you ever see that movie? Was it Zarthos or whatever? The one when he's wearing basically red leather S&M gear?
No, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's and with a white ponytail. Yeah.
Oh my God, I need
that. Yeah, Sean Connery.
We need a big poster of it.
You know, there's a sense sometimes, especially when people are near the end of their careers, that they batted 1,000. Not so much.
But Sean Connery, by his very nature, is just awesome.
Well, he is. He's very cool, I mean, he's Bond. He will forever be Bond, and he'll always be the best Bond.
And apparently also Red Bondage.
And Red Bondage. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, and another one most people didn't know was 13th Warrior. That was adapted off his book Eaters of the Dead. 13th Warrior was a movie with Antonio Banderas.
When is this from?
This is from 96, I think, or 97. I don't actually have an accurate time, but I remember did I see it in the theater? I think I did.
A time before IMDb.
Yes, much before IMDb. No, it wasn't that great, but it's kind of a fun movie in a kind of gross kind of way. It's about a Persian poet who gets...
Well, because it was based on something called Eaters of the Dead, I kind of get the idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's based in 600 AD or something like that. And Antonio Banderas plays a Persian poet who is kicked out of Persia because he has an affair with the lord's wife. And he gets sent to he gets sent on a mission with Vikings. And and they go to this, I don't remember where it was, but they go to this place basically because there's this town that's under siege by these cannibals.
Nice.
So it's sort of like Seven Samurai, but with Vikings and Antonio Banderas.
And cannibals,
yeah. And birth icons of large fat women. So
were they
wrong.
Also cannibals?
Yes, the birth icons themselves were cannibals.
No, representative of the cannibals, or were they representative of someone else?
They were just representative of
birth
the kind
idols.
Of the kind of grandmother that gave birth to all of them, cannibals. It was,
right.
It was very, very strange, but kind of cool. Kind of cool. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Know.
Great, great, great writer, great contributor of all things. And we'll
the
be
great
missed.
Thing is that, a lot of his stuff can be done and redone again, especially because some of it wasn't really taken so true to the books. You know? And there's kind of been a bigger kick lately for things to be more true to their source material.
That's true.
So I feel they did come out with that miniseries that two or three parter of Andromeda Strain recently.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I liked the old movie. It was decent. It wasn't nearly as good as the book. And we haven't actually seen the new one, although we do have it at home. So
yes, we do.
We should check it out. But the simple fact is that, I heard it did have a little more, hold a little more strongly to the book. So so that seems to be kind of what they're moving towards. And I mean, in terms of the Jurassic Park movies, I mean, the first one wasn't exactly super close to Jurassic Park the book. I mean, all I can say is that I will always have memories the first time I tried to read it when I was young and we were visiting friends and I ended up running in the middle of the night to the room where my parents were sleeping and crawling into bed with them and going, there are raptors under my bed.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I remember you were saying that the beginning of the book Jurassic Park was the beginning of the movie Lost Worlds.
Right.
With a little girl with her family on the beach. So,
But I hear that Lost Worlds world, and even the third one, I think too, were very different than the books. But I'm not certain about that because I never actually made it through Jurassic Park because after that experience, I was kind of scared for a while, and then I just never got a chance to pick it up again.
That's awesome. Yeah, I never read Jurassic Park either. I just, you know, I love the movie. I mean, how can you not? I swear they actually figured out how to clone dinosaurs kill them all off.
Darn you, Steven Spielberg.
I mean, it still holds up. That was a really good mix of CGI and animatronic modeling.
It's a way better mix than they do now, because now they're so into the idea of everything CGI, CGI, that they don't use enough models and true life things to really make things worthwhile.
I agree. I think that's one of the things I really like about Blade 2 is that they use CGI, but they also use animatronics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anytime you do that, it makes it feel more real.
Yeah, I mean, even in its own way, the TV show Buffy, you know, they used a lot of models to make things like, and there were some gross demons.
Yes.
But they were almost believable as real creatures because of the modeling that was done around them, how it wasn't just, hey, let's just, you know, slap some CGI on and make it, you know, make this guy into a demon. It's like, let's dress this guy up in this humongous demon-y thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they had a really great makeup department on that show, and I think they had some really good character design. Now, speaking of Buffy, I got to take a little second here. You know, one of the cool things about Buffy is when, you know, you stabbed a vampire with a stake, they dust, they would dissolve. If any of you are watching the show True Blood on HBO, especially the last episode of True Blood, they have a little bit of a different philosophy on what happens when you stab a vampire with a stake.
Yeah.
Would you like to describe it, anime? It was actually what happened in the very, very, very beginning of the first episode, of this last episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's something sort of exorcist about it, you know?
Certainly.
Yeah,
there's
projectile blood vomiting and melting and creepiness and gross and blowing up-ish.
The main vampire, Bill, stabbed a vampire in the back for trying to kill Sookie. And the dude basically, projectile vomited all over Sookie. Pretty much.
Which is awesome. Anna Paquin was amazing in that scene, by the way. The way she, the look on her face as she is covered in this vampire blood.
Yeah.
Like, it was incredible.
Yeah, no.
She's awesome.
She's great. Yeah, she's so cool. She's so good. And, you know, we've talked a few times that, you know, we just love the fact that she's on the show. I've always liked Anna Paquin for a really long time. It's funny, too, because, you know, I mean, did she win the Academy Award for The Piano?
I think she did. Yeah, I think she was the youngest Academy Award winner.
Yeah, I mean, she won an Academy Award when she was very young in The Piano. You know, of course, she's Rogue in The X-Men, and she was in Almost Famous, and she's just been in a lot of stuff. She's a good actress, and I've always had an appreciation for her, so I'm really glad
she
has
this. She was in Almost Famous? Have we had this discussion before?
Yeah. She plays, actually, the band aide that was dating Jason Lee's character.
Really?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember that.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago.
And I just watched it the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I just don't think I am.
How, like, Zooey Deschanel and was in it and as his sister. Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Zooey Deschanel was in that as his sister.
Yeah, and that one girl from The Craft, you know, the really crazy one? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about, what's her name?
She has she's a funny name, too. A weird name,
Yeah. Oh, you're killing me.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's funny. You know what's funny about her? The only time I ever saw her look normal was the Island of Dr. Moreau, where she was playing, like, a cat girl.
Well, she looked normal in Almost Famous, and she was, like, really cute in it, but, like, yeah.
You know what? She also looked normal in Waterboy.
Yeah, she did.
What is her name, right?
What
it's
is
killing
her name?
Me.
What is
I know,
her name? It's something weird.
Yeah, it really is.
You know?
It's crazy weird. Oh, it's like on the tip of my tongue. It's killing me.
Don't you have a computer in front of you?
I do, but
you're refusing to look it up because you're too busy going, what is it?
Yeah, well, I'm looking up Anna Paquin, too.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, to see what else she was in.
You know, like see if she was actually in Almost Famous?
She was in Almost Famous. I know. How dare you even think that she wasn't? She was in The 25th Hour. Ooh.
You were in The 25th Hour.
Oh, look at this. Almost Famous, 2000. Same year as X-Men. She was in Finding Forrester. You're the man now, dog.
Speaking of him.
Speaking of Sean, everything comes full circle, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Faruza Balk.
Yeah,
that's it.
Anyways, so back to the whole point
of
this.
Guess
the whole
what?
Point is...
Stop. This is more important.
Okay.
Young William was played by Michael Angarano.
Yeah, I know. I told you that the other day.
You did?
Yeah, when I was watching it because I looked up all the information. So.
Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, that should have been one of those times where you emphasize that I should have listened because that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
Anyways, so I think we're going to say that the whole point of this was to give our condolences to Michael Crichton's family.
Yes.
And to send our love and to say, you know, it's very sad to have lost such an amazing guy to a long and very quiet battle with cancer.
Yes.
Very sad.
He was 66 years old. It's just a sad day. You know, he's one of these guys who, he was kind of like the sci-fi Stephen King for a very long time.
Right.
You know, he just kept on coming out with just great stories one after another.
But that's the great thing, though. He got to see a lot of his work worshipped by people.
That's
you
true.
Know, and yes. Even better, he got to see a lot of his work turned into some very good movies. It's like, yeah, some of them weren't so great. But, you know, like I said, I heard that the new Andromeda Strain that they came out with was a really better adaptation of it, and Jurassic Park, even though it didn't really hold super tight to the story, it was still a really well done and acclaimed movie.
Yeah, and I think it's an immortal movie too. Mm-hmm. I think it will always be popular in
Absolutely.
A way. I mean, obviously, you know, you know, when the movie Birth of a Nation came out in 1915, people said there's no way a better movie could ever be made than this.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, times change and technology
right.
changes. But I think that Jurassic Park was really like something completely original for the time
yeah.
and something that will always kind of be looked on, I think, in a positive way. I've only met
Absolutely.
Like a few people who actually don't like that.
A lot of people, though, that don't like it, it's not even for real reasons. It's like they have a bitterness towards Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Or like they,
yeah,
you know.
It's either they hate Steven Spielberg. It's usually they hate Steven Spielberg.
Or
there's
they,
a lot of
yeah.
Steven Spielberg haters out there.
Which there really shouldn't be, because the dude had to work really hard to get any sort of respect in the industry. He, you know, for the longest time, no one would have any respect for him. And then finally, he finally started getting some acclaim.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's one of these guys that, you know, makes amazing films, and
yeah.
sure, you know, so he kind of helped sort of invent the Hallmark moment sort
yeah.
of like movie sometimes. You know, he does have stuff in his films that are more family friendly. I mean, E.T., the whole thing, you know, but at the same time, he's done a really good job at kind of blending
mm-hmm.
kind of terror and kind of other things with that. So,
yeah. So our love goes out to the Crichton family and to all of his fans out there. And you know what? Pick up a Michael Crichton book, pick up a Michael Crichton movie and show him some love. We're actually going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a moment. We're back. You are listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. So, I don't know how we haven't mentioned this yet, but congratulations to our new president-elect, Barack Obama.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was some sort of presidential election that happened
I know,
in
right?
some country around here somewhere.
And I certainly hope that if that you all voted.
Yes.
Because, golly gee, there was a lot of voting going on.
There was a whole lot of voting. I think there was more voting than not, probably.
I think there was, and I think that's something to be very proud of. There's been a major drop-off in voting in elections lately, and I think it's really important that a lot of people voted, and even more so that a lot of people were able to look past, you know, perceptions of past prejudices and you know, vote for the best man for the job.
Yeah, well, you know, between Bush being Bush for the last 8 years and slowly destroying this country and, you know, just the
and
economy.
McCain kind of shuffling around
yes.
during the during
exactly
during
the,
debates.
The crazy McCain shuffle.
Yeah.
McCain being synonymous with the crazy cat lady down the street. And, yeah, I mean, in due to the, you know, plunge of the economy, I think that everyone really felt like this was the time to go out and try to make a change. So
mm-hmm.
luckily they did and weren't just kind of, you know, ready to sit there and die away like
yeah.
in serenity when they, you know, created those crazy killer people on that planet.
So this goes out to you, Barack Obama. We have put our faith in you. Don't let us down.
Yeah.
We have all the faith in the world in you.
Yeah.
And we think that you can truly be a superhero for this country. And
yes.
and Geek World believes in superheroes.
Yes.
So,
but don't screw up.
Don't screw up.
Because Anna May will come to your house and go, hey, what are you doing? Screwing up.
I won't just come to your house. I will come to your White House.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And and we'll be like, what's going on, man? How come the problems aren't fixed yet, dude? So you got 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You have 3 weeks, and we're not even waiting for you to actually be officially the president.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
do it now.
Hey, you know what? There's no excuses, okay? Time is very important. Get in there right now.
Right
yeah,
now.
Right now. Or
right
else.
Now.
You're going to hear from anime. Not from me, because I He's just too darn likable.
Too darn likable. I know.
I can't not like the guy.
I know.
I can't yell at him. I'll be like, take a few more months. It's all good, buddy. we're all good here.
Can I get you a cookie?
I mean, poor guy. You know, I mean, it's funny. It's like, not poor guy because he yeah, won president
poor
of the United
guy.
States.
He won president of the
He won.
Wow, idiocracy.
It's like winning American Idol, only you actually have responsibility after you win. But, I mean, this guy really, I mean, he literally has the world on his shoulders. I mean, Barack should, like, pose for the Atlas. You know, like
Atlas?
Atlas, right?
Oh,
Atlas
pose for Atlas. Yeah, I thought you meant like have his picture taken so it can be put in an Atlas.
No, we should. Yeah, we should redo all the globes so it's just one big Barack face. Yeah, no, that's great.
That'd be amazing.
He should like he's practically Atlas over here. I mean, he's holding up the world. I mean, he's got
because that's just it. That's the whole thing. Like the majority of the world was watching this election and praying that Barack Obama won.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's from polls from around the world. It's not just, you know, us supporters of Barack Obama saying. It's like, this is what the world wanted.
Exactly. And, you know, even though, you know, he doesn't have everything, he can't see Russia from his house in Illinois, but, you know, the guy is a leader. I mean, I sure hope he is, because we all voted for one, and he really seems like he is. So.
You know, he made some good speeches there. So.
Wouldn't it be funny? He's like, my bad. I really didn't think I'd win. I mean, this is kind of a weird thing, actually.
He goes into this like, I was just hoping to get a nice mansion.
Whoopsie-daisy. I don't know. But, so awesome. So, you know, I think it's funny, too, because I think we all kind of, even as the polls were going and looking like he was going to win no matter what, I think everyone's just so cynical. You know, I think there's a large belief, at least on the coast, obviously not in the middle part of the country as much, that, you know, perhaps the way the Republicans won the last two terms was not exactly
kosher.
Yes, exactly. So I think that I think everyone is a little relieved. And
I always find it funny that the middle of the country is all like, oh, we got to watch out for the terrorists and we know what's the best. It's like, dudes, you guys weren't even attacked. I mean, I know our country was attacked, but it's like maybe you want to listen to the people in the area that actually was attacked and see the way that they're looking and see the things that they're voting for and maybe follow them because – you know, they're the ones that don't want to get attacked again.
Well, you know, I look at it like this, you know, there's just such a balance in the universe, right? It's like the people on the coast can be a little more wild and liberal because we're coming up with a lot of creative stuff and a lot of like important stuff.
No, but again, like you're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, you know, the coast, New York City was the place that the attack happened.
Yeah.
And you notice that they're not voting Republican. They're not voting for, you know, they want to be safe. So they know the best things to vote for to keep themselves safe so that they don't get attacked. Because, like I said, it's not the middle of the country that got attacked. It's like Montana, you did not get attacked.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, as a country, we all were attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to worry about them flying planes into a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, you guys in the middle of the country don't have to worry about them setting off a bomb by you guys because, you know what? No one cares about you. Ooh. They care about the coasts where it matters. No, seriously, terrorists care about where it matters,
well,
where the smart people are and where the people that killing them off will matter are.
Or at least where the major cities are.
You don't think there are major cities in anywhere in the middle?
I think that I think the three major cities of...
But the point is that you should listen to the places that are actually in fear of actually getting attacked. You should listen to where they're leaning because they know, you know, what they want to do to not get attacked again, you know? It's like the attitudes of a lot of people in the middle of the country are what causes fear in the minds of people on the coast saying that, oh my God, can you stop saying this stuff so that people don't attack us again? It's like because the people on the coasts are the ones that have to worry.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with you. So we'll have to see how that
works
out.
Not that you in the middle of the country don't matter, but, you know, I'm sorry. Terrorists don't think about you guys when they're thinking of where to attack. They think about the places that are big and important to the world.
Well, the reason I love Middle America is that's where all our food comes from. And I am a big fan of food.
I mean, especially when they start, you know, passing laws that allow for lots of pollution so that they can pollute our earth and pollute our land and chop down all the areas where the farming is. Because they like to vote for things that go against farming and against, you know, against things that will actually help our economy and help our farmers. Because, you know, when the farming industry goes down, the rest of the economy follows.
You know what? I agree with you. people in the middle of the country, you don't matter.
No, they matter. They matter a lot. They just don't understand how much they matter, and so, you know, they don't vote for the right things to help themselves.
Well, good news is Barack won, and we're all
and we
all
have
very
hope.
Happy about it.
We
yes.
have hope.
We got a whole lot of hope.
Yeah.
We got hope coming out of the yin-yang
and
out
hope
the wazoo.
Could build houses,
yes.
there would be no homeless.
Wow. That's beautiful. So anyway, enough of this bummer talk. This is a bunch of crazy political talk we don't
yeah,
usually
right?
do here anyway.
Yeah, that never happens.
I mean, geez.
Darn you, Barack.
How dare you? How dare you, like, you know, make that whole presidential thing happen so
know,
that you
right?
could, you know, be president and make us talk about this.
Okay, so why don't we take another quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about District B13.
Oh, I wanted to announce it as Banlieue 13.
Well, you can announce it after the commercial
Banlieue.
Break.
I don't even know how to say
I'm
13
sure you don't.
In France. I'm going to say Banlieue 13. That sounds good.
You know, I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
I'm pretty sure I'm right. By the way, I'd just like to put out there that, you know, a good part of my heritage is French. So, obviously, I should know better than you. So, it is, in fact, Banlieue 13.
No.
Hey, you know what? Just because you're, like, the host of the show doesn't mean that I'm not right.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it later,
yes.
but we'll be back with you, and no more political talk.
Please.
No more! And the middle of the country does matter, you know, in its own way. No, we love you, middle of the country. We drove through you.
Yes, we drove right
right
through you. All mavericky, all through
all
you.
All mavericky, all through
all
you.
All up in there.
We love this entire country, so we are glad that we have someone here to save us. Anyways, we'll be back with you in just a moment.